Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Brand organization in Oregon that's it's a couple years old now, and it's providing Christian-based help for homosexuals, and it's just getting developed. It's had a couple conferences. It's designed to be a place for homosexuals disenchanted with Exodus International, and one of the founding members of Exodus, Frank Worthen, is also a member of or one of the organizers of Restored Hope Network, which is the new network. And Exodus has been around for 38 years, but unfortunately it has gone astray, is the way I like to put it, and has basically dumped the message that change is possible. And although it was founded on the principles that change is possible and that there's a transforming power through Jesus Christ, but they've kind of laid that message aside and gone in a different direction. So my guest today is Ann Polk. She's the executive director of Restored Hope Network based there in Oregon. And thanks, Ann, for being with us.
It's my great pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You know, we hear more and more about the need for your type of ministry, the Restored Hope Network. And why is your ministry so vital in today's society, today's culture?
Well, there are a number of reasons. One is our culture is increasingly losing its biblical bearings. Even the evangelical church seems to be disconnected with its head and understanding of the biblical values of sexuality. Mm-hmm. And so we are here to exist to call people out of darkness, just as Jesus does. He does the work. We stand alongside of those who are being called out of darkness into his marvelous light and walk alongside of them, discipling, mentoring, and to encourage their growth in Christ so that they will succeed in their walk with him. There are certain things that hold people back or that may cause them to stumble, and we want to encourage them to let go of those things and to embrace the new life in Christ. Mm-hmm. And to thrive. And there's much to thrive in, actually. It's much greater and more wonderful outcome for those who seek Christ and who have his calling upon their life to come to him and be his and to set apart their lives for him.
Right.
There's beauty in that.
Yeah.
There's destruction and sadness and desperation and lack of fulfillment in the fruits of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And homosexuality is defined by God as sin.
Right, right, which unfortunately too many today are forgetting that. They don't even like the sin word to be associated with homosexual acts, to where we have a movement in some parts of the country that say that you can be homosexual, actively engage in homosexual acts and be a Christian, which is, of course, totally unbiblical. But are you getting some pushback? Is the ministry there getting some pushback from those churches who are taking the biblical stand that you can be gay and Christian at the same time?
Absolutely. We're getting a lot of critique on the internet, particularly.
Mm-hmm.
From liberal churches, from gay churches, and from some who are becoming liberal. And that's the tragedy to me, is to see some who were standing strong to bow to the current culture and forget the authority of God's word. Honestly, when I was coming out of homosexuality 30 years ago, it took me a little while to understand that God calling homosexuality sin was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a point in my life when I realized that I just couldn't seem to figure out how all the scientific things work. I read all those studies, and I realized that they might show a correlation, but they weren't replicated. The basic science classes from high school really would disprove most of what's mm-hmm. written in those scientific studies, quite
honestly. As far as being born gay? As far as
being born gay and the immutability concept. And
mm-hmm.
For example, the twin studies. That was probably the best study that could be done on homosexuality biologically for a biological cause.
Right.
And yet, instead of a very high correlation, like 100% or 90% or 98%, since they share exactly all the same genes, they had a low, below 50% correlation, and that did not exclude family dynamics.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that.
Yeah, along that, recently Jason Collins with the NBA announced that he's homosexual, but yet he also has an identical twin who's not. So that goes right along with the twin studies there.
Right, it does.
Yeah.
But anyway, when I was figuring all that out in my own personal life, it occurred to me that actually God knows what to do with homosexuality because he knows how to deal with sin.
Mm-hmm.
That made it very simple for me to recognize that he actually had all the answers. It wasn't based upon what the current thinking was, but rather it was based upon what he identifies as being sin, and he knows how to wash, cleanse, and set aright.
Right.
He knows how to set captives free.
Yeah.
And sin, when it's obeyed, becomes a master. It becomes, you become enslaved to sin.
Mm-hmm.
And that works with lust and other things.
Right.
And quite honestly, what we're encouraging in this culture, for those who embrace homosexuality as being an option, we're encouraging spiritual slavery, mm-hmm. quite honestly.
And what really bothers me, is the youth who are buying into this and her being, first they were told gay is okay, and now they're being told that if you feel like you're homosexual, then obviously you are, and it's okay to act upon those feelings. And then you have parents who may have a child who has unwanted same-sex attraction, and your ministry. I mean, you don't force counseling on someone who doesn't want it.
Absolutely not.
You help those who have unwanted same-sex attraction. Now, do you
exactly? That's exactly what we do.
Yeah, and that's one thing that a bill like was introduced in Harrisburg by the Philadelphia legislator Anthony Williams just a few months ago, would prohibit parents from taking their child with unwanted same-sex attraction to a therapist. And to me, that's a blatant infringement upon those parental rights, you know, of parents who want to do what's best for their child and want to help their child overcome these unwanted attractions. But
right.
Yet, you know, Philadelphia Democrat wants to step in and say, well, what he says, let me read you what he said to the Philadelphia Gay News. He says, I didn't even know this was going on, and I think a lot of people today don't know this exists. It's just so out of date with the times in which we live. It's barbaric, is what he says. That's counseling someone to overcome their unwanted same-sex attraction. And do you use the term reparative therapy or...
We do not actually use the term reparative therapy, though we don't have anything particularly against that. It's come to mean different things than it really does mean, and that's simply all that reparative therapy means, that they believe there's an origin point of homosexual struggle, perhaps some vulnerabilities based upon environmental concerns. None of the scientific studies have disproven environmental causation.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe family dynamics might play maybe personality, maybe experiences as well, maybe molestation or sexual abuse or other kinds. So, those things are still relevant in the life of the individual, and overcoming abuse is very important to do. Overcoming faulty family dynamics, if there are some, what's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. So to empower an individual to overcome and deal with confronting the demons of one's past, so to speak, that hold the person down, seems to be counterintuitive to any form of therapy. I mean, to make sure that people don't get to deal with the underlying issues seem to me to be absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
Honestly, it's also against the whole concept of the therapeutic associations. For example, while they may discourage what they call reparative therapy or whatever they think it is, sexual orientation change efforts that the individual wants to do.
Mm-hmm. The key right there.
The person wants to do.
Right.
Yet the very same associations have always said that the individual has a right to self-determination. Mm-hmm. That's very important. And the freedom to choose the outcome that the person wants to have. And yet here they're denying that as a possibility.
Yeah.
They're simply saying, no, you can't do this. I don't care if you want to, you don't get to. And they may call it barbaric. Maybe they don't want that outcome. Well, that's fine. They have the right to choose not to do it. But for someone who is choosing to work on their sexual orientation, to even explore changing mm-hmm. one's feelings or working on one's background, they say, no, that's not a possibility. And they actually violate their own beliefs, the bedrock of therapy.
Yeah. And Williams goes on and says, Anthony Williams goes on and says about change therapy. He says it is not productive and not effective, but it's actually counterproductive, immoral, and irresponsible. My words to State Representative Williams is that it's immoral and irresponsible to not allow a parent to do what's best for their child.
Right. And that's absolutely right. Parents' rights are vital. They're actually given the right to protect their children. And the culture has one word, and that apparently is that if you have some kind of sexual feeling in any way, shape, or form, or a different desire to be a different gender mm-hmm. or whatever it is, that those obviously must be pronounced as good and worthwhile.
Yeah.
And society doesn't have the ability to make that decision. The individual has to have the right to do so, and the parents who are looking out for the kids.
Well, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it doesn't. Now, do you see... let's get back to the structure of Restored Hope Network. How is it structured?
Sure. Well, we are structured as a member director owned organization. I'm the executive director. We have a board of directors that are elected from the member directors, and they are actually the people who do the groundwork. They're the people in the local areas that run ministries who help and walk alongside of those who are leaving homosexuality. They do effective ministry. They have done it for some up to 40 years
mm-hmm.
and have helped hundreds and hundreds of people, each individual group, some of them. And so what we have is a peer-led, balanced governance system. We also have a strong local network of ministries. We're developing a therapeutic arm to our organization. We are also developing a pastoral arm to our organization. A real strong desire is to communicate with pastors and equip them and let them know about what it is that we do so that they can know what resources are available and how to equip them to do the work that they're doing in their local bodies.
Yeah.
So
you're like
all of that
umbrella.
Is vital.
Okay.
So we're an umbrella organization, yes.
Okay, good. And I tell you what, it is key that churches and those who are seeking to minister to those who want to leave the homosexual lifestyle, it's key that Restored Hope Network be there, especially with the demise of Exodus International. And to me, it's just really neat that you guys are there.
Well, thank you. When Exodus dropped their mantle of their mission, we were there ready to pick it up because, quite honestly, we were founded by the same individuals. Three of our key ministries were also founding ministries of Exodus International.
Okay.
Gary Bussey was not that person. He was one of many who helped found Exodus. And he soon left for a gay lover and has been out in that life for a long, long
time. Wayne Beeson loves that.
He loves that. And they became influential in turning the mission of Exodus into, cutting its own mission in half.
Yeah.
If you say that people cannot change from homosexuality, whereas my life is an example of that, and many others are as well, then you say that, you apologize to the gay community, change can't happen, and why bother? You don't need to.
So what's the point of the ministry? Yeah.
Right, and neutering the gospel.
Yeah.
Essentially taking away it's not necessary to obey God.
Yeah.
Well, we know that's not true. And so Scripture is very clear that belief and action go together. Mm-hmm. They're hand in glove.
Absolutely.
They're the same body. It matters how we live our lives.
The way you live is the way you live is testifies to what's in your heart.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's the test that shows exactly what is inside of our hearts.
Yeah.
And anyhow, so Exodus dropped that mantle, and quite honestly, they weren't able to carry it. And that is tragic. I was on the hiring committee for Allen Chambers, mm-hmm. or for Exodus mm-hmm. International, many years ago,
yeah.
and helped to hire him, and it was not for the purpose of abandoning the mission of Exodus, which is what he's claimed, and that's a tragedy to me. That also
yeah.
got me involved in helping found this new organization.
That's
and we're grateful for those who've stood alongside of us, and Dr. Dobson also has recognized that
yeah.
this is important and endorsed us, and we, all the leaders of the former organization, many of them have come alongside
mm-hmm.
and become part of this new network, regional representatives mm-hmm. and former board members, and you know, it's the cream of the crop. We're
and
thrilled to be working with the people that we have.
Yeah, so. And that's fantastic that you've got that those recommendations from the former founding members, or actually former founding members of Exodus, actually founded Restored Hope Network. At least some of them did. And
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
As we live in this society, increasingly we hear gay is okay. And kids get a mixed message, or get a message through the media. And you, as we see GLAAD pushing for more and more homosexual characters in television programming and transgender characters on in television programming, kids get more of a mixed message. Social media, all that. The news media, do they give such a tainted, one-sided picture when it comes to this issue? And how, I don't know, you know, kids are just are confused with this issue, as polling indicates, too. How can we overcome that? I mean, as kids are told this message that gay is okay and encouraged to live that lifestyle, if they feel inclined to do so, how can we overcome that?
Well, I think there's a couple things that we can do. First of all, we've set in the church the bar too low. I think the young generation is craving, they want to be able to fight for a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
They want to fight for something. They found equity for homosexuality as a cause that's
yeah,
current.
True.
But honestly, the bar is much higher in God's kingdom. The bar is holiness. The bar is fearless battling for righteousness. The bar is one's whole self given to Christ, regardless of whatever it is you might feel on the inside. When you run with abandon to the God of the universe, the Creator God, you find a companion that's above all else. And I think the bar is very high. The excitement of surrendering to this one is so much better than anything the world has to offer as far as the cause. And I think somehow we've missed the boat with our young people and not expecting of them.
Mm-hmm.
To step into the gap in this current culture.
Yeah.
We've not expected them to grow up. We've wanted to hide them from the troubles, but all we've done is hide the Christian
from
truth
the real world. Yeah.
From the real world and left the world to speak into the culture
yeah.
of the church. And so when we don't address homosexuality and proper human sexuality and what its purpose is to reflect the relationship with Christ and his church, quite honestly, God picked that picture before Christ came into the world to reproduce it throughout every generation to reflect his character to us. That's profound.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's a high calling.
Yeah.
And
churches
that's exciting.
Churches don't want to, I guess, in their view, burden young people with the issues of the day. But yet,
unfortunately, the world's happy to do so.
Absolutely.
And they're happy to call our
yeah.
kids into a battle to support a cause.
Yeah.
But why are we not able to call our kids to step up and understand the design of sexuality
yeah.
and use self-control
yeah.
And here are these young kids who have not yet experienced all the troubling things that adults can get into, and they can be called to that higher standard, just like the abortion field now is really powered by the younger generation. Yeah. They have a cause for life, don't they?
Yeah. And my thought is, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I think, my gut feeling is I think 10, 20 years down the road, when young people of today, fast forward 10, 20 years, and they look back, even as the generation who's now so pro-life has looked back and seen where they've, you know, their whole generation, you know, 53 million babies have been killed since 73. And people now, young people now who are advocating for homosexuality or may, you know, see it's okay and they're an ally. I think as time advances and they see the detrimental effect of the homosexual lifestyle and those who are dying from AIDS and those who are dying from other, you know, cancers and such as that, especially men who have sex with men, I'm hoping that they will be able to see the truth about what has really happened and the lies that they were told to get them to that place. I mean, increasingly, the truth is being ignored, whether we talk about the health risk involved with homosexuality or whether we talk about the loss of religious freedom. I know there's a couple cases there in Oregon where, you know, there's, a couple bakers have refused to bake wedding cakes for same-sex commitment ceremonies or weddings. Has same-sex marriage legalized in Oregon? I know Washington State
They're has not.
Okay,
they're
civil
not.
Unions, just civil unions.
There are movements towards it, but
these bakers,
marriage as male and female and just a few years ago.
Okay, well, I know same-sex bakers have refused to bake cakes for same-sex commitment ceremonies for civil unions.
That's right.
And so we see loss of religious freedom. And
yes, we do. That's right. And there is, you know, anti-discrimination laws that impact health and human services. I mean, it's piggybacking upon racial inequities of the past against segregation. It's inappropriately piggybacking with those
equating it with race and civil rights.
Actions and race are two completely different things. Yeah. Even internal feelings and race are two completely different things. One is you are definitely born with it. It's your skin color. It's impacted your family line. It was determined generations before you were around. And you don't have control over it in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
And yet behavior and identification, you have a great deal of control over.
Right.
And it is fluid. There is no proof that it's immutable.
It's interesting that some homosexual organizations say that sexuality is fluid. But they're looking at people like Jason Collins, who announced his homosexuality, and they want to ignore people like you.
Right. It's only fluid in one direction for the gay community.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're in, but you cannot leave.
Right, which is, that's discriminatory.
It is.
Yeah. And
it is so much so that Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays, PFOX, in Washington, D.C., was able to get ex-gays, people who've left homosexuality, as a protected class of citizens recognized by the federal courts.
That's
amazing.
Neat. Yeah. So, I'm hoping our listeners will check into Restored Hope Network, and because this is a much-needed ministry, because increasingly homosexuals are pushing this day in and day out, 24/7, the acceptance and normalization of homosexuality. And we see young people who may be caught up in the lifestyle right now, but they want to get out. And we can't have laws like Anthony Williams has introduced in Harrisburg pass. So you say you had a conference last September, and you'll be having another one next year in Oregon. Give us a little bit of details about that.
Portland, Oregon, 2014, and June 27th and 28th, we'll be having our next conference. That's right.
Okay.
Our next annual large conference. We have multiple other conferences throughout the year in different regions of the country.
Okay. And folks,
so people can check our website to find out more.
Yeah, give us your website.
You bet. It's restoredhopenetwork.org.
Okay, of course, that's all one word, restoredhopenetwork.org. So I encourage your listeners to check into that. And, you know, if there's not a conference near them, can they work with you to maybe have one brought nearby?
Absolutely. And our goal, again, is to work with local churches to help equip them. And we're developing resources for that. So putting the word out. So if you have a question or comment or need some help or a speaker or want to work on a conference or anything like that, those are options.
Okay, fantastic.
And there are resources available.
Okay. Well, thanks, Ann, for being there and being willing to be the executive director of Restored Hope Network, because I'm sure that you get a lot of negative feedback just because of who you are.
I do, but it's a great joy to proclaim the hope in Christ, and that is worth it all.
That's the key. Yeah. But take care, and again, appreciate your ministry, and hang in there. And we'll be praying.
Thank you very much.
Okay, take care.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.